today on Real Radio.
You and I are the answer through the love of God and the Word of God. You and I are the answer to the real issues. You think you have, listen, do you hate racism? So does God. What are you going to do about it? You going to be silent about it? Then you're just adding to the issue. Say something.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's special edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now in a message called My Dear Church in California, I've Written You a Letter. Now, Pastor Jack mentions California quite a bit in this message, but despite the title, the lesson is applicable to all, so stay tuned. What if Jesus were to speak to the church in California? What would he say? Is he watching us lose hope? Feeling non-essential because the powers that be say we are? Well, according to God, we are neither essential or non-essential. We are precious souls that God loves. Now, first it was God's law that came through Moses, then God's grace came through salvation in Jesus Christ, and finally, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the first church was born. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon the followers of Jesus, and they began to proclaim the good news of the gospel, and they never stopped living out their lives to the glory of God. So today, on day two of this special message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus has never lied to us, and his word will never fail us. He promised from the beginning that we belong to him, and that he is holding us in the palm of his hand. And we can rejoice in the fact that he will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what. And now in his message called My Dear Church in California, I've Written You a Letter, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 4 is what I wanted you to look at. I exhort you to remember my works that I have done among you and to know how much I have loved you. Philippians 1:6 tells us that God is the one that's going to be faithful to complete the work that he started in your life. He's not going to stop. But Pastor, I came so close to giving up on my faith. But you didn't. You've come through the fire and you've made it through. And thank God that you're here, or thank God that you're watching or listening right now, because you've made it. Now it's time to resuit and rearmor up. It's time to do church. Oh, let me insert this. I got in so much trouble by everybody. I said in something that we need to get back to gathering as a church, because live streaming and all this stuff is not church. And you would have thought I had hit a beehive. I got to tell you, I'll prove my point, because everybody, I got in so much trouble. And then it turned out to be really good for getting that kind of trouble. Well, let me ask you something. How many of you ever heard or listened to Dr. J. Vernon McGee while you're driving down the freeway? Who hasn't? You know, it's cute. Young kids today love him. And he's been dead like about 900 years now. Young kids love him because it's like the grandpa they've never had talking to them about the Bible. Dr. J. Vernon McGee, the most listened to Christian broadcast in the world. The guy's been dead for like 20 years. Why? Because truth is truth. Truth never gets tired, never has to sit down. Truth just goes. And when you're driving and you're listening to J. Vernon McGee, even though you're being taught, are you in church? You're not in church. You know what church is? Right here. This is church. See, what do you mean? People serving. You know what? Listen, a lot of pastors are very content to just keep streaming. I got to tell you, it is more comfortable when it comes to interaction with people. If you don't, you know, if it's this, when you're talking into a black hole, it's hard to talk into a black hole. It's very hard. I hated every moment of it. But you know what? I kind of felt bad getting paid to do it. You want to know why? There's no people. Ministries, people, attitudes, heartbreak, kid problems, married problems, single problems, problems. All God's people, God's problems. But that's church. It's church. With all due respect, sitting at home on your my pillow with a bagel and coffee. It's not church. God used it for a season. The season's over. It's time to get back to church. You've got to interact. You got to love. You got to hold one another. You got to cry with one another. You got to do what you're doing today. I know there's only a few of you here right now, but you probably had some parking drama. That's church. But God says, I've honored you. Remember the things that I've done in your life. So listen, California, I confess I'm extremely biased, but I'm going to give you this so that we have a place to return back to. I was born in California, born in San Diego, migrated. This is the far north as I've ever lived. But we're in California, ladies and gentlemen. All other states, all 49 states should just kind of tip their hat to California for this one reason. There is no state in these United States that has the spiritual foundation that this state has. Did you know that? Well, at the same time, the colonies were seeking freedom and liberty on the East Coast of America, and the Black Robe Regiment of pulpits were preaching in New England, liberty and freedom. At the exact same time, a man showed up on the coastline of San Diego by the name of Father Junipero Serra. Father Serra. He came and he began preaching the gospel in San Diego, and he began doing that in 1769. And from 1769 to 1833, Father Serra founded first the mission at San Diego. Have you been there? He then went on to plant 21 mission stations along the entire length of the state of California. He was called the Father of California. And by doing so, he set up these missionary outposts, the jewel or the gem, the pearl necklace of the gospel in 21 missions where the gospel was preached. Number two, Jesus is saying to the church in California, have I not called you to a great commission? Oh, friends, listen, we're not just saying something. We've got something to say. If we were just saying something, then we would have been okay just hunkered down and drawing the curtains and staying indoors. But we're like Jeremiah, are we not? Where the Bible tells us that the word of God, Jeremiah said, I'm not going to talk about you, God, anymore, because every time I do, I get punched in the face. So Jeremiah said, I'm done with this. Serving you is too hard. And Jeremiah said, I'm not talking. That's it. And he told God, I'm not speaking anymore for you. And Jeremiah said, as soon as I did that, God's word began to boil in my heart, and it began to be a fire. And Jeremiah said, I had to speak. All of God's children who have been possessed by the Holy Spirit, and if you've brought in one verse into your life, if it's John 3:16, have you noticed new believers, they never shut up. They're always talking about Jesus. Have you noticed that? That's a good thing. The Great Commission. Our neighbors need to hear it now more than ever. By the way, have you noticed? I don't know. I think I know this about you. Everywhere we all go now, people are way open to hear the gospel. This whole thing has shaken people to the core. I tell you what, my opinion. Either we step up and seize the moment for the glory of Jesus and give out the gospel, or this lunacy that's taking place with these violent riots will take the day. It's going to be one or the other. This is a great battle in a spiritual war. Evil is on the march. Will God's people pray? Will we get up and tell others about the love of God? I hope so. Jesus, no doubt, is saying to us that he's not come to destroy us. He's come to prepare us for what's next. Now, look, I like you. I want the rapture to happen right now. But what if it doesn't happen? Are you ready to tell your friends about Jesus? You'll never fail if you do. You know, you'll never fail. I know it's nerve-wracking. Number three, maybe Jesus is saying, have I not given you a voice? Have I not given you a voice? Out of what I'm calling verse 11, was it not I who has given you true gold that comes from heaven and gold that cannot be corrupted, or a message that cannot be silenced? Did you know that? Our message can't be silenced. After first service, there was a family here. God bless them. This is so cool. They listened to us for 5 years online, and they live in Phoenix area, and they were visiting their family in Washington, and they had no idea that today we were opening up the church. They were on their way home to Phoenix. They came by here to take pictures before heading home to Phoenix. They stopped by, and it happened to have been first service. They're from Russia, but they live in the United States right now. Her father was a pastor during the Soviet era. He was arrested for preaching the gospel in their city and imprisoned by the Soviets for 2 years. While the dad was in prison, the son, who was an ordained minister, got up and began pastoring the church. He was arrested and he was in prison for a year and a half. She stood in this courtyard a couple of hours ago and said, "Pastor, for the first time of my country, now America, for the first time, I see what's happening on the streets, and I remember when it happened in Russia, and I fear for my America today." It's a war. But you have a voice. You and I are the answer through the love of God and the word of God. You and I are the answer to the real issues. You think you have, listen, do you hate racism? So does God. What are you going to do about it? You going to be silent about it? Then you're just adding to the issue. Say something. Is there an issue with poverty? What, you have money and the others don't? Do something about it. Think of it. You have a voice. The fourth thing is, have I not told you the truth? Has Jesus ever lied to us? When Jesus says, "I give you my peace I live with you, leave with you," not the peace that the world gives, my peace I give. Is that true or false? No, listen, don't answer so quick. Is it true or false? If you have that peace, then you'll join in with the Apostle Paul and you'll be able to say, none of these things move me. Which, by the way, can we all agree on something here? You know, we've all concluded, right? Everyone's concluded. The world is terrified of death. That's all they've been talking about for months. If they cared about it, why wouldn't they let us preach the gospel publicly then? If you're so scared of death, then you need to listen to the message I've got for you. You want to hear some truth? Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can go to the Father but through him. Jesus said, if a man were to die believing in me, yet shall he live. Listen, you want to combat fear and death and the grave? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the gospel. It's amazing. One mayor said, "We will not open up anything until no one dies for 14 days. You saw that in the news. I understand where he's coming from, but do you understand? We're all going to die. You understand that? I mean, hello, excuse me. You, number three, time to die. No, we're all going to die. She said, don't talk like that. We're going to die unless the Lord comes back today. Right? And she said, I don't want to talk about that. Listen, come on. At any moment, with all this stuff going around, people coughing in your face, all this stuff going on, were you scared? Were you like, oh my gosh? I mean, I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. But it's like, the Lord's got you. You know, you're not going to make a mistake. You know, it's like, I know the Lord's got me, but I made a left turn. He's got it. His truth never changes. And by the way, watch how things are evolving regarding the data. At first, everybody yelled, we need to stick to the science. And then you don't hear that anymore because the science has come out and the science didn't fit the narrative. So now no more science. No. But now all the poor scientists are saying, excuse me, you know, I have an answer to that. If the earth were to shake, if we were to be attacked, if the sky was to fall, God has made a commitment to you that he cannot break. He cannot fail. He says in Psalm 138, I esteem my word above my own name. Did you know that? He will never fail you. His truth abides forever. You can trust him. Number five, have I not promised that you are mine? I like this. We'll end with this. I like this. But I tell you this, you belong to me. And the salvation that I've begun in you, it shall be completed. I know that fear has tempted you, but be of good cheer. Fear not, for I hold you in the palm of my hand. Jesus says, you're mine. You are mine. You need to meditate on this. He says to you, you're mine. You say, how do you know? In John 17, go read it. Jesus is talking to the Father. And it's actually the actual Lord's Prayer. It's not the thing you're thinking about. You know, our Father in heart in heaven, hallowed be thy name in the kingdom of God. That's something different. We call it the Lord's Prayer. That's not right. John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. That the prayer that you and I think of is the model for prayer. So Jesus prays to his Father, and it's beautiful, but it's all summed up in this. Father, those that you've given me, they're mine. I know that they're yours, but now they're mine. Amen. They're in you, and I'm in you, and I'm in them. They're in me. We're one. Amen. And they are mine. Can you imagine Jesus right now, if you just let him do this, he wants to come up and he just puts the squeeze on you and he says, I told you you're mine. Listen to him. He's a bozo, but listen to Jack. I'm telling you, you're mine. Have you called out to Jesus? Have you asked him to be your Lord and Savior? Have you honestly, listen, were you ever afraid of dying during these last few months? Then listen, you need to fix that forever because you're his. I hope you're his. If today you're fretting and you're worried and you've come to church as though it were a rescue buoy floating down the middle of the ocean, okay, that could be your motive, but the church can't save you. That's why we don't have membership here. We trust God to take care of this place. Your membership, if we had a membership, you'd say, is my name on there? Is my name on there? Yes, it is. Whew. Oh, no, no, we're not going to give you false hope. Your hope needs to be in Jesus and in him alone. So let's pray together right now. And I'm going to give you the first opportunity in COVID season to once and for all remove this game that you might be playing, that God to you has been recreational, that you came maybe for curiosity. I don't know. But if you died today, would you go to heaven? If you died today, instantly, would you pass out and then instantly open your eyes in the kingdom of God? Because the Bible says to God's children, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah. Do you know that peace? I have to tell you, I thank God for that peace. So let's pray, and today's the day. If you hear the Holy Spirit speaking, I'll give you a clue in a moment. If you hear the Holy Spirit speaking, it's going to sound like this. It's going to be the sound of your voice, because you're the only one you're going to listen to, so to be in your voice. But the syntax, the sentence structure, the statement that's made, you will know inside it's not you. If you hear him, it will sound like you, but you will never use words like that. If you hear that, you had better not put him off. You need to respond to him immediately. That's why the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. We don't want your money. We know that many of you maybe have come from far away. You don't need to come back. But you do need Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, without fanfare or ado, your gospel is crystal clear that Jesus Christ came from heaven, born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life, God incarnate. Jesus wasn't a good man. Jesus was the God-man who, after fulfilling the demands of the law, became our sacrifice and died on a cruel, brutal cross where we're supposed to die. Where our sentence of death was posted. For all the handwritings and ordinances and all of our sin was placed above the head of Jesus Christ, nailed to the cross. But by his sacrifice, he's the only one that could pay our debt. And not only pay our debt by his perfection, but to surrender his soul into your trust, Father. Jesus' body lay in the tomb. But on the third day, Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead for our justification. And today Jesus lives. And today he's enthroned at the right hand of God the Father. And soon, I pray, he's coming again. The world will see him once more. But what about you today, friend? Listen, what about you right now? While we sing this song, I'm going to ask you, please, to be intellectually honest with yourself. To not care a whit about people that are around you. And if God is speaking to you, if you have the need or the sense in your mind, I need to dedicate my life to Jesus. This is a perfect time for me to start over. Maybe today you're saying, I've never known this about Jesus. I thought I could get to heaven by being good. But now I hear it's all about his death and resurrection. I want to have him as my Lord and Savior. Then you come, all of you come in rededication, or the decision of salvation. Let's sing this song. You listen to God, everybody, and respond to him. Is there a little battle going on inside of you right now? In other words, have you heard already? I should do this. Wow, that happened to me like 44 years ago. I can remember it like it was yesterday. I should do this. And I got in an argument with myself. Only later did I find out that that was the Lord speaking to me. All of it evaporated, all of the fear and intimidation. What will my friends think? What will people think? Hey, listen, Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny me before people, then I must deny you before my Father, also in heaven. No one's going to hold your hand into heaven. Nobody, not your mom, not your dad, not your friend. No husband, no wife will hold your hand into heaven. We'll all stand alone before him. Will you have Christ as your protection? Will you have him as your advocate? Will you have him as your salvation? You can be sure of that today. Let this be the final call for you to come. The door is open. The opportunity is now. Today's the day. You respond to him if he's calling you. You come right now and we'll pray together. So those of you who are standing here, or those of you who may be in other rooms, what I'm going to lead you in is this prayer. It's not a magic prayer. It's not like some sort of a sticker. It's not an add-on, by the way. You may be a member of the local Costco. You could have a season's pass to Disneyland. You're not going to get a card for this. You're not going to get any token or trinket. But you will get this. You will get this. In a moment, the Holy Spirit is going to come inside of you. Some of you may feel that happen. Some of you may not. Friends of mine have. I never did. It's irrelevant. The question is to you today, do you want Jesus Christ to reside in you in the person of the Holy Spirit? That's what Jesus meant when he said, I'm going to send the Comforter to you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. So when you pray this prayer, just mean it. God is able to hear the sincerity of your heart as you approach him who alone is mighty to save. Will you pray this? Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner and I ask you to forgive me for my worry, for my fear. I ask you to wash me clean of my lust or my temper. Lord, I acknowledge today that in my life, there's so much that needs to be turned upside down. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to write my name now in the Lamb's Book of Life, because today I proclaim you as my Lord and my resurrected Savior. I receive you into my life. I am yours, and you are mine. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his special message called My Dear Church in California, I've Written You a Letter. Thanks for listening. And our hope really is that the rest of your 2020 will be full of peace and joy, especially through the pain and suffering of COVID-19. It's only truly possible when you've made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. So why won't you come to him today? And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Just a reminder that due to time constraints, this sermon was edited. To hear the full sermon, visit jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.